Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Melachim Aleph Perek Vav, Chapter 6. King David, David HaMelech, wanted one thing, so badly, above all else, to be able to build the Beit HaMikdash. Originally, when he told his prophet Natan of his intentions, Natan was supportive, but Hashem told Natan that it was not the right time, and it will instead be David's son who will be the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. In Divrei HaYamim, Aleph, David tells Shlomo how much he had wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, but Hashem told him that he had spilled too much blood in his life to be the one to build this building. Instead, Hashem told David, Hinei ben nolad lecha, v'hu yeh ish menucha, v'hanichoti lo mikol oyevav misaviv, ki Shlomo yeshmo v'shalom v'sheket etin al Yisrael b'yamav. You're going to have a child, and he is going to be a person of peace, and he is not going to be fighting all the enemies around him like David did, and his name will be Shlomo, and he will have peace and quiet over Bnei Israel in his lifetime. Hu yivneh bayit lishmi, he will be the one to build this Beit HaMikdash for my name. V'hu yeh li levein v'ani lo la'av, he will be my child, says Hashem, and I will be a father for him. V'achinoti kisei malchuto al Yisrael ad olam, and his throne, his kingdom will last forever. V'atabni, says David to Shlomo, my son, yeh Hashem imcha, Hashem should be with you, v'itzlachta upanita bayit la'Hashem, you should have success, and you should build this temple to Hashem Elokecha, ka'asher diber alecha, just like he spoke about you. And this is Shlomo's mandate, to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's the mandate that he inherited from his father David. It is the essence of his name. He is a person of peace. He can build the Beit HaMikdash. Over the past few prakim, we have watched Shlomo establish his empire. Not through war, but through peace. Shlomo's reach extended far beyond his borders, not because he had conquered the land through force, but because he had used economic and political means to influence his surroundings and build his wealth. It is now time for Shlomo, the man of Shalom, the man of peace, to fulfill the destiny that David could not and build the Beit HaMikdash. Perek Vav, chapter 6, describes the process of the building. We begin with an introduction that links the building of the Beit HaMikdash to the destiny of Bnei Israel from their inception as a nation. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 reads, Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'ot shana letzeit Bnei Israel me'eretz Mitzrayim. B'shana ha-revi'i chodesh div hu chodesh ha-sheni limloch Shlomo al Yisrael v'yven ha-bayit la-Hashem. It was 480 years from the time that Bnei Israel left the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month of to the reign of Shlomo, Shlomo built this Beit HaMikdash to Hashem. The Yalkut Shemoni connects the two events, Yetziat Mitzrayim and the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and draws several conclusions from the timing. This introduction to the Beit HaMikdash reminds us of the building of the Mishkan by Moshe, a high point for Bnei Israel in the desert and a symbol of their unity as a nation. Psukim 2-6 tell us general points about building the Beit HaMikdash as a whole and about the construction of the ulam, the antechamber of the Beit HaMikdash, and as well as the side structure that went around the different sides. One of the things that we learned is V'habayit b'hibanato even shlema masa nivneh. When the house was built, it was built of stones that were complete. U makavot v'hagarzen v'kol klei barzel lo nishma v'habayit b'hibanato. And any instrument, any tool that was made of iron was not heard in the Beit HaMikdash while it was being built. Rashi cites in Midrash that the stones of the Beit HaMikdash were cut with the miraculous worm, the Shamir, and therefore iron never touched the stones of the Beit HaMikdash. Rabag and Radak explain differently that the stones and the other material of the Beit HaMikdash were cut with iron, but only at the quarry, and they arrived at the Beit HaMikdash in perfect form and size, and therefore no iron equipment had to be used at the site of the Beit HaMikdash to further shave down the stones and to further shape them. The word shalem, as in even shlema, a complete stone, may be a further play on the word shlomo. There was no iron associated with the Beit HaMikdash, just as there were no weapons associated with Shlomo himself. In fact, the Abarbanel cites a Midrash that connects the building of the entire Beit HaMikdash with the building of the Mizbeach in the time of Moshe. The Abarbanel explains that Shlomo was never commanded not to use iron tools in the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, as Moshe was commanded not to use iron tools in the construction of the Mizbeach, but Shlomo wanted to. he wanted to take this idea upon himself. In order to portray the following message, iron represents weapons that are designed to shorten people's lives. This Beit HaMikdash will be the opposite, designed to lengthen and enhance people's lives with their religious dedication and their service of Hashem. In Pasuk 9, we have a conclusionary pasuk. Vayiven et habayit, vayichalkehu. He built the house and he finished it. Vayispon et habayit, gavim ushderot ba'arazim. And he covered the house with beams and planks of cedar. The Mefarshim explain that this is not the conclusion of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, but rather the conclusion of this part of the Beit HaMikdash that we have read about so far in this parak, because the rest of the parak continues with the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Then surprisingly, in the middle of the description of the construction and this list of details, we have a speech that Hashem gives Shlomo. The timing of the speech is unusual, as is the fact that there's no buildup to this speech. There's no description of korbanot that Shlomo gave, no telling us that Shlomo fell into a trance or a dream like we had back in Parak Gimel, chapter 3, when Shlomo had his encounter with God in Givon. Hashem's speech is short. It's only two psukim, and it's surprising in its content as well, as it doesn't, when you listen to it, it doesn't really have that much to do with the Beit HaMikdash, even though the Beit HaMikdash is itself mentioned. Listen, okay, so it's psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel, verses 11 to 13. V'hidvar Hashem el Shlomo le'mor. Shem spoke to Shlomo. Habayit hazeh, this house, asher ata boneh, that you are building, im telech b'chukotai v'et mishpatai ta'aseh, v'shamart et kol mitzvotai lelechet behem, if you follow my mitzvot and my laws and my statements and you do them and you keep all of my mitzvot to go in my ways, then, v'hakimoti et dvarai itach, I will keep my word to you, asher dibarti el David avicha, that I spoke to David your father, v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and I will dwell amongst b'nei Yisrael, v'lo a'ezov et ami Yisrael, and I will not leave my nation Yisrael. It's very surprising, meaning we do mention habayit hazeh asher ataboneh, this house that you're building, but then the rest of it doesn't really refer back to the Beit HaMikdash, but rather talks to him about that he should do good, and he should keep the mitzvot, and he should follow Hashem. And what's interesting is, at the end, the conclusion is, v'shachanti not b'toch habayit hazeh, not I'll dwell within this structure that you're building, but rather v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I'll dwell amongst b'nei Yisrael. So it's a very interesting and surprising passage from Hashem, which we will speak a lot more about later. We then have another pasuk about finishing the Beit HaMikdash, verse 14, Vayiven Shlomo tabayit v'yichal kehu, Shlomo built the house and he finished it, which is very similar to pasuk 9, which we just mentioned, and the Mefarshim explain again that this refers to finishing specific parts of the Beit HaMikdash, but not the entire house. Afterwards, we have a further description of what Shlomo built in the Beit HaMikdash, including the walls, the beautiful flowers that were carved into the wood, and the Heichal, which is the main sanctuary, and then the Dvir, which is the Kodesh Kodeshim, the inner sanctuary, that housed the Aron. And it tells us that Shlomo overlaid the Dvir completely in gold. And I really encourage everyone to read the Psukim in chapter 6 that describe the Beit HaMikdash. It's really overwhelming in its beauty and its grandeur. Just some examples of talks about how the doors of the Kodesh Kodeshim were so beautiful with their carvings and the palm trees and the kruvim that were carved into them. It talks about how the floor of the Beit HaMikdash was overlaid with completely in gold. And you have a very detailed description of the kruvim that were on top of the Aron in the innermost sanctuary in the Devir. The parak concludes with an overview of the construction process start to finish. Pasuk Lamazayin, verse 37. Bashana harevi'it yasad Beit Hashem b'yareach Ziv. That's similar to what we had in the beginning. In the fourth year of Shlomo, in the month of Ziv, the second month, which we call Iyar, the Beit HaMikdash was started, the construction was started, the foundation was laid. And then, Pasuk Lamed Chet, verse 38, U'boshana ha'achadesra, in the 11th year of Shlomo, B'yareach Bul, hu chodesh hashmini, kala habayit l'chol dvarav, l'chol mishpatav, ve'ivneu sheva shamnim. And so the 11th year of Shlomo's reign, the entire house was constructed, and it took 7 years. A few questions on this parak, however, remain, especially centered around Hashem's speech. Why is it placed so strangely in the middle of the construction? Why not put it at the end? Why doesn't it have to do more with the Beit HaMikdash? Why are there two psukim that seem to say that Shlomo finished the Beit HaMikdash, and they're also in the middle of the parak, when actually he didn't finish it either time? Perhaps we can answer some of these questions by looking at the structure of this parak as a whole. If we zoom out and look at the parak in its totality, we see that this parak is presented as a chiasm, which is a particular structure that Tanakh sometimes utilizes that presents information in an ABCBA structure, with the end parallel to the beginning, the second section parallel to the second to last section, etc. And then the middle section will have no parallel and operates as the fulcrum, or the main idea of the passage. And that will inform our understanding of the rest of the passage as a whole. Let's look at it with this lens. So the parak begins with this pasuk that tells us the introduction, that Shlomo begins to build the house. We're going to call that A. Then we have a description of the building of the house and a bunch of different details, including the building, the ulam, some windows, walls, etc. We're going to call that B. Then we have this one pasuk, Ve'yivenet ha'bayit ve'yichalkehu, Shlomo built the house and finished it. That's pasuk 9. Avispenet ha'bayit gavi musdiro barazimini, the beams and the planks were made of silver. We're going to call that C. Then we have in Psukim 11 to 13, Hashem's speech to Shlomo. And this is going to be D. This is going to be our fulcrum. This is the main point of the parak, and it has no match. Then we go back to C in Pasuk Yadalid in verse 14, Vayiven Shlomo Tabayit Vayichalkehu. Again, a parallel Pasuk, Shlomo finished the house. Then we go back to B, which is a further description of building of the Beit HaMikdash, when we have here the description of the walls and the Heichal and the Tvir and the Kruvim. And then the parak finishes up with a parallel pasuk to the way it started, which is A. And that is the pasukim that said, you know, Shlomo finished building it and how long it took him and what month he started and ended in. And it's interesting that this particular parak, I don't know if it's meaningful or not, but it certainly is interesting that this particular parak is presented in this structure, because this is a structure almost of a building. And it's describing a building. And it's almost like a pyramid. And the top stone is the section where Hashem speaks to Shlomo. So let's look at that speech again, and let's look deeply into it this time. The speech says, "Vayhi Dvar Hashem," I'm just going to read it again. "Vayhi Dvar Hashem al Shlomo lemor," Hashem spoke to Shlomo saying, Pasuk Yud-Bet, verse 12, "Habayit hazeh asher atabonah," this house that you are building, "im teilech b'chukotai v'et mishpatai ta'aseh," if you walk in my ways and you keep my statutes and my laws, "v'shamart et kol mitzvotai," and you do all of my mitzvot, "lalechet behem," to follow them, "v'hakimoti et divarai itach asher divarti el David avicha," then I will keep my word that I had with you, that I spoke to your father David. Pasuk Yud-Gimel, verse 13, "v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael v'lo e'ezov et ami Yisrael," I will dwell amongst Yisrael and I will not desert my nation, Yisrael. These words, "v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael," I will dwell amongst b'nei Yisrael, are very similar to Hashem's important pronouncement to Moshe in Parsha Truma, when he was telling him to build the Mishkan, the first structure where we have a sanctuary to Hashem. And those are the words, "v'asuli mikdash," make for me a holy place, "v'shachanti b'tocham," and I will dwell amongst them. Here we have "v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael." This statement is vital in our understanding of what it means to have a holy place to connect to Hashem. Hashem is everywhere and cannot be confined to space. So why do we need a Beit HaMikdash? And this pasuk helps us understand that the Beit HaMikdash is important as a place to connect, to encounter Hashem. But Hashem is not confined to it. Rather, it's through, rather, this building influences us and helps us be better. And we encounter Hashem there, but it's through our deeds, through the influence that we have when we leave the Beit HaMikdash, that we bring Hashem into the world. "V'shachanti b'tocham," I will dwell amongst them. Not "v'shachanti b'tocho," I will dwell in it, limited to that building. We are a physical people, and we are moved by physical spaces and physical acts. But the key is that we need to be moved. The real test of the Beit HaMikdash is what happens when you leave it. not when you're there. Therefore, the speech that Hashem speaks, that Hashem says to Shlomo about what should happen, focuses on what should happen outside the Beit HaMikdash. Im teilech v'chukotai v'et mitzvotai ta'aseh v'shamarta kol mitzvotai l'alecha b'hem. If you keep my laws, if you follow my mitzvot, then v'hakimoti et devarai asher dibarti el David avicha, then I'll keep what I said to you. The Beit HaMikdash needs to be a place that inspires you to be better all of the time, not only when you are in it, but more importantly, when you're not in it. And this will be the key to a successful Beit HaMikdash and a successful reign. To Shlomo, if Shlomo can use this house as an inspiration and as a model and to keep him on track of what he needs to do. Hashem doesn't need the Beit HaMikdash, but we do. We need to be moved by the grandeur. We need to make sure that we use all the gold, the carvings, the cedar words for their correct purposes, which is to inspire us to worship Hashem, to meditate on Hashem's grandeur, and to be moved. But the real test of the Beit HaMikdash is, did it make you a better person? Did it cause you to keep the mitzvot? Did it cause you to be better to other people, to bring Hashem into your lives? V'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and I will dwell amongst b'nei Yisrael. And that is the fulcrum. That's the purpose of this entire parak, of the whole structure of the ulam and the hechal and the dvir and all the carvings and all the wood and the cedar wood and the gold. It all has a purpose, which is to move us to be better. But we have to make sure, and Hashem is warning Shlomo in these psukim, make sure that you always keep your eye on this purpose. Make sure that the Beit HaMikdash fulfills this purpose of bringing you closer to Hashem, and by extension, bringing B'nai Israel closer to Hashem. And this can perhaps be the answer for why do we have these two psukim that surround Hashem's speech, verses 9 and 14, which say that Shlomo complete in the house, perhaps Hashem's speech needed to be cordoned away from the construction to tell us that this is the completion of the Beit HaMikdash, the way it is used and the way it functions in a nation to make them better. And certainly this message would resonate with Yirmiyahu, the author of Sefer Melachim, who saw the exact opposite of this in his life, the Beit HaMikdash as an empty shell where people come to bring their sacrifices and then check off their worship of Hashem. They're done. They don't bring it into their daily lives. Their society is completely corrupt. And Yirmiyahu saw that the ritual of the Beit HaMikdash only stayed in the Beit HaMikdash. And here Hashem is warning Shlomo to make sure that that doesn't happen. But now we're not there. Now we're in the beginning of the process, and there is so much promise and so much good, but we need the warning. We need to focus, and we need to say that we have this grand Beit HaMikdash. We have the high ceilings. We have the carvings, the gold, and the perfect stone, but they'll only be good if we use them for good. Only if it brings us, if it brings Shlomo, if it brings B'nai Yisrael closer to the purpose of Hashem taking them out of Mitzrayim, to be a nation that truly serves Hashem. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.